الحمد لله، الحمد لله خالق الوجود من العدم، وجاعل النور من الظلم، ومخرج الصبر من الألم، وملقي التوبة على الندم. فنشكره على المصائب كما نشكره على النعم، ونصلي على رسوله الأكرم ذي الشرف الأشم والنور الأتم والكتاب المحكم وكمال النبيين والخاتم، سيد ولد آدم، الذي بشر به عيسى ابن مريم ودعا لبعثته إبراهيم عليه السلام حين كان يرفع قواعد بيت الله المحرم، فصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أتباعه خير الأمم، الذي بارك الله بهم كافة الناس العرب منهم والعجم. فالحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. والحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. والحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ به من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله، أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله، وكفى بالله شهيدا. فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. ثم أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. يقول سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: وأوحى ربك إلى النحل أن اتخذي من الجبال بيوتاً ومن الشجر ومما يعرشون، ثم كلي من كل الثمرات فاسلكي سبل ربك ذللا، يخرج من بطونها شراب مختلف ألوانه فيه شفاء للناس إن في ذلك لآية لقوم يتفكرون. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. واللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله، واللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. آمين يا رب العالمين. The way a Muslim thinks is different from everybody else. And the reason for that is the book of Allah. It shapes the way that we think. As a matter of fact, what I want to start with is an ayah of Surah Al-Mulk, where people are entering into hellfire, and the crime for which they are entering is being asked of them as they enter. And so they respond, وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلْ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيدِ. Very famous ayah. They say, if we had only been people that listened. Now let's stop there for a second. Listening to what? Listening to the revelation. Listening to the message. Listening to the reminder. Listening to advice. That part everybody knows. But it doesn't say وَنَعْقِلُ in the ayah. It says أَوْ نَعْقِلُ. لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ. And the word أَوْ in the Arabic, many of you know, means or. Had we listened or had we thought? Or had we thought? And the implication there is, had we listened or at least had we thought? The purpose of putting things in this way is very powerful. On the one hand, the Muslim will learn something when he or she listens. We listen to a khutbah, we listen to a reminder, we listen to a lecture. You read something even, and you will learn, and you will take heed from that. You will take advice from that, and maybe change yourself for the better. And at least you should. Because listening to good advice and not changing is one of the reasons these people end up where they end up. They just refuse to listen. Actually, listening has two dimensions. On the one hand, it's just something going in your ear, and on the other is actually applying, listening, actually complying with it. This is actually true of the Arabic language and also true of English. You know, when you say to somebody, I tried to tell him, I tried to give him advice, but he didn't listen to me. But it doesn't just mean he didn't hear me. It means he didn't obey what I was saying. He didn't comply with me, right? So listening has this duality. But the latter is what I want to highlight. Or had we only thought, had we only applied our intellect. In other words, Allah is telling us in that ayah and many ayat outside of that, that the Muslim is supposed to be constantly thinking, and he has plenty of reasons to think, even if they're not sitting there and listening to a sheikh teach them something. We're constantly people of thought. And so what makes us think are ayat. The purpose of the ayat, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ لِيَتَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ, so they can think deeply about the ayat, so they can reflect on the ayat, and the ayat not just of the Qur'an, but the ayat of creation all around us. When you look at the sky outside, you're supposed to think about something. When you look at a tree outside, you and I are supposed to think. This is what a Muslim does. We think differently about the same thing everybody else sees. They all see it too, and we see it too. But when we see it, we see something else. We see an opportunity to think, to reflect. And so today's khutbah is actually about one thing that gets overlooked, that Allah Azza wa Jalla wants us to think about, that He wants us to really reflect on. And this is the difference between when we read the Qur'an just at a surface level, we just read the Qur'an and we just move on. Or we stop and think about actually what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. He says in this remarkable ayah, وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ, Allah revealed, your master revealed. When you say أَوْحَى رَبُّكَ, it's كَلَامُ to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your master revealed. Now when the Rasul hears, my master revealed, he's thinking he revealed Qur'an. He revealed revelation to him, isn't it? But Allah Azza wa Jalla in this particular ayah says, I'm not talking about wahi to you. I'm talking about wahi to the bee, the honeybee. Allah revealed, your master, the same master who reveals Qur'an to you, is the one who revealed something to the honeybee. Now let's think about that for a second. A honeybee is something insignificant to most of us. It's not something you see every day. Even if you do, you get scared of it, you shoo it away. You know, you live in a city, which means that you're more than usual, more than normal, disconnected from nature anyway. All around you is more concrete and grime than there is the natural creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, right? Even the one creation you can't escape is the sky. It's always there. But you know, most people that live in a busy city, they have no time to even look up. They just look around and look at going to tube or take the bus, or they don't even look up at the sky. So what are we going to reflect on, right? We don't get time to think even for ourselves or for what Allah wants us to think about. So in this particular khutbah, I want to take something that we would overlook entirely, a bee, and highlight first of all that Allah Azza wa Jalla told His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there is a kind of wahi that I didn't give to you, that I gave to the bee. So I want you to think about the bee. SubhanAllah. And we're going to have to think about this bee, because it's obviously Allah telling us this. Everything Allah tells us in Quran is for our guidance. So now I, as a believer, as a Muslim, I have new respect for this small creature, because Allah described it as something that receives Allah's wahi. Allah didn't say that about the cow. He didn't say that about the camel. He didn't say that about the bird. He mentions those animals. He does. He mentions lots of animals in the Quran. Lots of other creation in the Quran. But this wahi thing, it really captures you. Like, there's something special about this creature that Allah wants me to pay attention to. And this is a matter of thought. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you, and this is not going to be the subject of today's khutbah, but I'll tell you personally, when I studied this ayah a few months ago, I watched maybe 5 or 6 documentaries on bees. Just because Allah wants us to appreciate this creature. Allah has given it wahi, so everything it does has to do with wahi. It's inspired by wahi. And it has lessons to learn. And I didn't know enough about bees, so I wanted to study, and I consider that studying Islam. That is studying Quran. When I'm watching a documentary and I'm taking notes on what a bee does, that for me is studying Allah's deen. Because that's what Allah wants us to think about. You see, we have to have a broad perspective on how Allah wants us to approach knowledge and wisdom when He revealed to us this grand book. In any case, in this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أَنِتَّخِذِي مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا, He revealed to the bee that it should make home, that directly, ittakhidhi, amr, a command directly to it. You see, in Arabic, the expected language from here is an tattakhidha min al-jibali buyutan, that it should take homes, it should make its home in the mountains. Wa min ash-shajara, and it should make a home in the tree. Wa mimma ya'rishun, and it can also make up a home in what people build for it, meaning people make beehives, don't they? There's bee farming. So what people build, it can make a home in there too. Now we learn in this ayah, first of all, that Allah made it a point to mention that He directly commands the bee. He speaks to it directly. اتخذي فعل أمر is used in the second person. Allah directly communicates to the bee of where it should build its home. And one of the other incredible benefits from this is, if you've ever had honey or any byproduct of honey, which is a massive industry in the world, and as a matter of fact, it's not just honey. Most of the farming, for example, in California is the biggest almond farms in the world. You know, the almond growth, it supplies 90% of the world's supply. And all of it comes from honeybees that actually extract the pollen from certain kinds of plants. So they farm them there. Now Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed to it, you can make your home in the mountain, and you can make your home in the tree. But if Allah did not mention وَمِمَّا يَعْرِشُونَ, you will only find honeybees working in trees and mountains. We would never be able to farm them. But He said وَمِمَّا يَعْرِشُونَ. So what you and I enjoy of the supply of honey is because of Allah giving it permission and giving it allowance to build its home so that we can farm. Just think about that. It makes you reflect on the fact that all of what we enjoy from Allah's creation is because Allah explicitly commanded creation, in this particular case the bee, you know, to be at our service. So that when people build, يَعْرِشُونَ الْعَاقِلِ, when they build, you take it up as a home. You use that as a home. But really what I wanted to talk to you about is some guidance from this small creature. Not just an appreciation of this creature, but some guidance. And I found something so incredible, I'm baffled by it. I found a hadith of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered sahih. وَالَّذِي بِنَفْسِي يَدِي, I swear by the one who has my life in his hand. Allah's Messenger could have said anything without swearing, but he swears by Allah first. Because what he's about to say, it must be really incredible. And he says, "Inna mathal al-mu'min ka mathal al-na'la." The example of the believer is just like the example of the bee. I'm sitting there going, "Subhanallah." First, Allah told us that He reveals to the bee. Now, Rasulullah says, "Sallallahu alaihi wasallam," that if you want to be a mu'min, you should be just like the bee. What am I going to be like the bee? How am I going to be like the bee? What is the bee going to teach me about my iman? About how to live as a believer. Apparently, this is so serious that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam swore by Allah first and then said that. Must be something really serious. So he told us some things we should pay attention to, and there are many more. But I want you to look at what the Rasul says alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, "Akala tayyiban," it eats well. It eats good and pure. When a bee goes to a bed of flowers, it doesn't take the flower that's immature, it doesn't take the flower that's gone bad, it doesn't even go to a flower that it can smell somebody else has already gone, some other bee from another hive has already sat on it, it does not go to that flower. It goes to a fresh, clean, pure flower. It only goes to that. The first aspect of our iman highlighted here is the rizq we pursue, not just the food we eat, but the rizq we pursue, the job you're going to go get, the business you're going to go start. You know, the money you're going to make, and the food you're going to eat. Look for the pure thing. Look for the thing that's pure. Look for the best. And you know, the bee doesn't settle for less. It keeps looking until it finds the very best. So you know what? We're supposed to be high achievers. This is part of the attitude of a mu'min. فَلْيُطْقِنْهُ, he should perfect it. إِذَا عَمِلَ مِنْكُمْ عَمَلًا. You know, everyone among you, when you do something, you should perfect it. You should do the best. And that's what the bee does. It goes for the best. That's the first thing. Then he says, وَوَضَعَ الطَّيِّبًا. It eats well, but it also, the way it sits on the flower, the way it sits down, is really nice. It's good and pure. And you have to study that. What that means, you won't know until you study a bee. When you learn about bees, you find out that they take pollen, which flowers need. They're going to eat from the flower, but they never go to eat from the flower until they will give the flower a lot more than they will take. They will give it life. They will give it pollen. So if you're, and all of us have relationships, just like a bee has a relationship with a flower, every one of us is in relationships. And in every single one of my relationships and every single one of your relationships, you get something and you give something. In your marriage, you give something and you get something. With your parents, you give something and you get something. With your teachers, you give something and you get something. With your employer or your employees, you give something and you get something. There's always a give and take. But the bee gives a lot more than it takes. It gives a lot more than it takes. And what it gives makes the life of the recipient better. And what it takes doesn't harm the recipient. What it takes doesn't harm the flower. وَضَعَتْ طَيِّبًا, the way it sits, it's very nice. And by the way, it has to sit right on the most delicate part of a flower. And the bee is actually a heavy creature, relatively speaking, to a flower. So if it puts its entire weight on the flower, the petal or the piece that it's sitting on, where it's going to put extract from, it can actually break. So it keeps hovering, so it doesn't put its entire weight on it. Its wings keep flipping, so it doesn't put its whole weight on it. What are we learning? You have a relationship, but you keep demanding and demanding and demanding and demanding and demanding until the people that love you, your friends, your employees, and your spouse, they break. You want something, sure, but don't take too much, take it easy. Don't put so much pressure that they break. And if you want something, give more, bring something first, and then demand. And when you demand, demand very little. Just enough. Just enough. So وَضَعَتْ طَيِّبًا. And then the Messenger says, okay, it sits well, it finds the good place to sit on, it eats well. The other benefit of that is when another bee from another hive is passing by, and it sees a bee eating from a flower, it doesn't even say, let me wait and let me just go mess everything up. Because you know, if the two different hives, they go to the same flower, the flower gets messed up, it cannot pollinate. That flower is going to die. So the bee recognizes that this flower has already got a relationship with that hive, I shouldn't come to it. It comes close, it smells it, it senses it, and it goes to another flower that hasn't been touched yet. So you know what we do, right? Somebody opens up a shop, we're like, oh, it's getting good business. I should open up the same exact shop right across the street from him and take all of his customers. As soon as the customer is about to walk into his store, hey, brother, I want to show you something. What does we do? Let this guy look. There's plenty of other places I can go. Allah's rizq is vast. I don't have to take the food out of his plate to eat on my plate. This is what we do, right? There are people who, they are so stingy. I know Muslim professionals that are making good money. I know doctors, they make good money. And then they have a med student, somebody who's looking for an internship in the hospital, and they don't recommend him. Because maybe 5 years down the line, he'll make more money than me. 10 years down the line, I wouldn't want that. We don't even like helping each other out. The attitude of a believer is, look, this one's earning his risk. I should go earn my risk somewhere else. I shouldn't, you know, cut his risk. It's not a cutthroat attitude like in corporate societies. It's not cutthroat. You're not there to take somebody else's money away and make your money. You know, I just gotta get mine, that's all I care about. SubhanAllah. So he says, وَوَقَعَتْ فَلَمْ تَكْسِرْ. It sits, but it doesn't break. It puts demands, it takes, but it doesn't break. It takes in the best way. What a great way to eat. What a great way to live. And this is not just about money, it's also about relationships, as I was trying to say before. In every one of our relationships, what we're learning then, if we're like a believer, if we truly understand the lesson of the bee that the Rasul is making so much emphasis for us to understand, then we have to learn, am I putting too much pressure on my children? Am I demanding too much from my parents? Am I asking too much from my husband? Am I asking too much from my wife? Am I asking too much from my friends? Am I too hard on my employees? Am I too hard on my teachers? You have to ask those questions because we want to be like the bee. And then he says at the end, فلم تكسر أو فلم تفسد actually. It doesn't break the flower and it doesn't cause corruption. You know, one of the most remarkable things about bees is the flowers they go to are very far from where they themselves are. Their hives are far and the flowers are much further away. So they will go at a distance of sometimes many miles, and then when they come back to their hive. And their hive is not, it's not just their own home. They have a big neighborhood, everybody lives in that hive. So Allah taught them to do a particular dance. They hover in the air a certain way, which actually tells the rest of the bees the coordinates of the other flowers. Look, I just made some rizq for myself, but you guys will benefit from this rizq too. I will point you to it. And it actually gives them navigation. It's called the bee dance. And you know, it's the popular term uses the bee dance. It does it before the other bees so they can all get rizq too. They can all go eat too. And they can build their community together. They can build the hive together. So it recognizes that when you benefit someone else, it's not competition. When you benefit someone else, we're all getting benefit. We're all benefiting. I can't build a hive by myself, the bee recognizes. All of us have to do well. What happens in the Muslim community when we don't have iman? When somebody's doing well, we get jealous. And if you're doing well, you want to make sure you don't tell anybody else how you got there. So where do you get your supplies? I don't know, I forgot. So where did you apply for a job? What is your resume? I don't know, I lost the file. You don't want to help anybody out, because you're like, this is competition. Why would I help competition? Why would I let them get a seat on the table? No, no, no. We can't have that. Everybody's got to look out for themselves. And the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recognizes the endless wisdom that will come from learning from this bee, because Allah himself told him, look at the wahi that comes to the bee. وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ. Down to the path it takes, Allah calls it سُبُلَ رَبِّكَ. The path, if you see a bee, it goes around in circles and wiggles and you can't tell a clear flight path. And Allah says every turn it takes is the pathway of its master. It's the pathway Allah made it take. And Allah calls it ذُلُلًا also. The حال in the ayah uses ذُلُلًا. And ذُلُلًا suggests that it moves with humility. Allah describes the bee moving with humility. It's got a job. It's got an important function. It's on a mission. But just because it's on a mission doesn't mean that it's arrogant. You know, when people become busy, they become arrogant. I'm too busy for you. I have no time for you. You know, call me later. So some of you have a good job and you don't have time to call your mother back. Right? This is ذُلُلًا. Even if it's going to do work, it moves with humility. SubhanAllah. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, finally, in this like 2 minutes that I have left, one last thing about bees. There's many things to talk about, but just one last thing. Allah Azza wa Jalla made this creature incredible, and He made it do this work. It's earning its livelihood. You can think of these lessons as this bee has relationships. It's benefiting itself, and it's benefiting the community, the environment around it. But above and beyond that, if enough of them do that, they create a hive. And in that hive, you get honey. And that honey benefits way beyond those bees. Fihi shifa'un linnas. There is a cure and healing for humanity from that little effort. SubhanAllah. What are we learning from that? If you and I learn to become a believing community, and we learn to benefit each other, and we learn to live alongside each other, and take our risk in moderation, and not put too much pressure in our relationships, what we become doesn't just benefit us. Humanity needs healing. When a community of bees can heal the world, so many ailments are healed through honey. One of the prophetic medicines is honey. And honey does not happen until a community of bees learn to live with each other and learn to work with each other. Then this ummah, if it's supposed to be like the bees, if we learn to work with each other and live with each other and create a harmonious community, then we don't just benefit each other, we become a healing for mankind. Because mankind has gone greedy. Mankind is eating, everybody wants something for themselves, looking out for number one, they call it. We're eating this planet alive. And by the way, it's no irony that as fitna increases in this world, one of the great tragedies of this world is that the honeybees of the world are disappearing. One of the great ayat of Allah Azza wa Jalla is disappearing. And Allah says at the end, وَلَمْ تُفْسِدْ. The way it eats, it produces more life. When the bee eats, it produces more life. The way manufacturing works today, the way businesses work today, the way you and I consume today, we don't produce more life on the earth. What we manufacture by the exponential amount is more death. We create more pollution on the earth. We create more intoxicants on the earth. We create more social waste and economic waste, not just physical waste on the earth. We create facade. And he says, learn to consume like the bee. So you don't create facade. You make the world better. You can have yours, but doesn't mean it has to cost the world something. It doesn't mean it has to cost the next generation something. SubhanAllah. May Allah Azza wa Jalla help us appreciate it. Make us a people of thought in this profound religion that has been given to us. Wallahi, this religion, if you think about it, it is something else. And if you've been following this religion and you've never given it any thought, it is something else entirely. May Allah make us a people of thought, a people of reflection, and a people that can truly reflect on the ayat of the Quran and the profound words of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Quran al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد نقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله رحمكم الله، اتقوا الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا.